Well, good morning and welcome. It's good to see you folks. I'm glad you braved the cold. I don't think anybody will complain this morning that the sanctuary is too warm. And so there's real benefits to this kind of weather and no mosquitoes. But we're so glad that you're here to come together to worship and praise the living God this third Sunday of Advent. Christmas is coming really close. What a special celebration each year again, and to be mindful of why Jesus came. That's the only reason we have hope in this world, is that he was willing to come to earth and dwell amongst us. We're glad you're all here, but if you're visiting, we give you a special greeting. We hope you also stay for a time of fellowship downstairs, which is where we're meeting today. And there's like stairs right here, stairs over there, stairs over there. There's stairs everywhere, and there's a lift in that corner. So if stairs are a challenge, the lift will help you get downstairs. And during fellowship time today, we're going to do something a little bit different. Normally when the choir sings, they also practice. Okay, but this week they're not going to practice, and we're all going to stay downstairs during fellowship time. And the folks from Malawi, and they'll be introduced in a little bit, are going to take the time to share a little bit more information about their trip to Malawi to the refugee camp. And then there'll also be a question and answer time. And so next week the choir will practice, which isn't your normal Sunday. And I talked to Harvey Hertz, and he's not going to do Sunday school next week then, so that'll resume January the 4th. Okay, if that all made sense to you, wonderful. Just come on downstairs, have coffee and cookies, and the rest will fall into place. I want to greet all the people that join us via Jethro Radio, and others do it via Jethro.fm, that's on the internet. And then I know we're also on YouTube, and that's been a wonderful outreach. And then some folks still get the CDs, and we're glad that that's a possibility, that we can connect with people in that way. I just want to invite you, too, that if you join us through electronic means but are able to come in person, hope you'd consider doing that. If you don't have a church home, consider making Eighth Reformed your church home. You'd feel most welcome here, as there's a spirit of love and hospitality, and we're a pretty informal group. I also want to encourage you to read your bulletin thoroughly. There's a lot in it. And then in the hallway, you notice right there by the library, that's where all the gift bags are for the shut-ins. And they're just filling up really nicely. Matter of fact, I already heard talk that next year we need bigger packages because there's just so much stuff being put in them. What a wonderful problem. And of course, we're looking for people to deliver it. And like I said last year, last week, this is not an Amazon delivery. This is to visit with people. And so make sure you got the time to stop by, to see them, to spend a little time, to visit with them. And somebody say, well, I don't know what to say. I say, well, no problem. Read the Luke 2 story. Just read Luke 2, the first chapters about the birth of Christ. Say a prayer with them. Make it meaningful. So the goal is not just to drop this stuff off. The goal is to make a contact, to have a visit with those people. For our call to worship today, I want to thank Joe and Patty Amthor for lighting the Advent candle and doing the reading, and going to invite them up at this time and invite all of you to open your bulletins, because much of this is a responsive reading. And then immediately after they offer the prayer, we will go to hymn number 251, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Welcome, Joe and Patty.
Thank you. We light these candles as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. The kingdom of God is near. Be alert at all times. Make your hearts ready.
Prepare the way, Lord. Make his path straight.
The crooked shall be made straight.
And the rough ways made smooth.
And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. For one is coming who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Eternal God, you sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for your coming Son. Grant us the wisdom to see your purpose and openness to hear your will, that we too may prepare the way for Christ, who is coming in power and glory to establish his kingdom of justice, and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our judge and redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, Paul. And absolutely, there is something about that name. That's, of course, why we're here. That wonderful name of Jesus. And one day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Lord. At this time, we have a special moment. A couple of our folks went to Malawi back in October. Danielle Wagonmaker and her mom, Peg Potter, and then April Palmboss, as well as Jake Tornga. And they're here this morning, except for Jake. He was sick this morning, and I know there's more people dealing with colds and flus and all of that stuff. That's unfortunate, but we're really glad that Danielle and Peg and April are here, and I invite them forward at this time. They're going to just share some things about Malawi. This is the teaser, and then for the full report, do come downstairs for the time of coffee and fellowship. Welcome, whoever wants to start.
Good morning. So I'm Danielle. This is my mom, Peg, and this is April. And this was my third time getting to go to Malawi. And I just wanted to say thank you to everybody for praying for us and for financially supporting us. It was a wonderful time. And those who enjoy speaking are going to fill in the rest of this.
Okay, I'm Mom, and I don't know why she keeps saying that, because she likes to talk too. But yes, once again, thank the people from this church for all the financial aid and all the prayers. They were felt, and I just have been so blessed by this adventure at my age. Who would ever think of going to Malawi? Not me. But yeah, there's a lot of stories and a lot of questions that I'm sure you all have, because I had a lot of them. So come downstairs.
Good morning, and thank you for the invitation to be here. It's great to celebrate Advent with you. And thank you, as Danielle and Peg have said, for sending them. They shared a lot on the trip about you and your church and the prayers, and how Pastor Harry was so enthusiastic about them coming, and I thank you so much for that. Like was said, my name is April Palmboss. I'm the Director of Operations for International Association for Refugees, and I also serve as our Malawi ministry leader, which means twice a year I get to go to Malawi, and it's always such a blessing to myself, to our organization, and to our friends in Malawi when people come and just spend time. Ours is a ministry of presence. A lot of us in the Reformed and Christian Reformed tradition, we're used to work projects where we have to go and we paint or we build, and we have to be busy with our hands. But really, the ministry of presence means so much to people who feel forgotten in our world. International Association for Refugees is a Christian ministry serving refugees on what we call the refugee highway. We are in Europe, we are in Africa, we have ministry locations here in the U.S., and through the power of technology and the internet, we also provide training to churches all over the globe, in Asia and in the Middle East. So I look forward to spending time with you downstairs and sharing more about our organization and more about our trip to Malawi. So thank you.
Well, thank you, April, Danielle, and Peg, and yes, you've piqued our interest to see what else we can learn about the ministry in Malawi, and so again, invite you all downstairs after the morning service for our fellowship around the tables, and then also to have it as a learning experience. As we come before our God with our congregational prayer, just a couple of updates on the church family. One is just a thank you. I just thank you on behalf of the deacons. The offering for the Project Bible Runners was just phenomenal, and we're just excited about your support of that and your generosity. And with the gifts that were received, they'll be able to purchase 800 Bibles. And for many people in the world, the greatest gift they can get for Christmas is a Bible. to get that story in their own language, to be able to read it for themselves. You know, there's places in this world where, like, I don't know how many people, like 40, 50 people share one Bible, and sometimes they just tear out a page, and then they take the page home. That's their page. And so to get be able to get Bibles into the hands of people is phenomenal. So thank you again. And then the prayer chain went out this week with Jim Verstraat. You know, it's been a long, long struggle for Jim this year. It really all started in August, and then he fell at home, and so they were concerned about a brain bleed, but because he had really intense headaches, and the headaches are diminishing, but it's kind of a slow process. So he is getting to, he is starting to feel better, recouping at home. Family, again, really thankful for your prayers, your love, your concern. And continue to keep Jim and Sandy in prayer during this time. And then a reminder that this Thursday is the funeral for Joyce Stulp, and that's at 11 o'clock right here at 8th Reformed with a luncheon following. And Joy does, has family, but not around here, so I encourage you just to come and be supportive and encouraging as we pay a tribute to Joy's life. And then I want to make this one more announcement, and that is thanking Scott and Beth Pasteur. You know, they're owners of the Jethro Radio, and they do a lot to keep us on the air and just really generous. And this year, they're also willing to broadcast our Christmas Day service. So on the 25th at 9:30. So I'm also doing this to make sure that folks that are joining us through electronic means will know that on Christmas Day, they'll be able to tune in to our service. And possibly YouTube too on Christmas Day. So we're excited about being able to reach out in that way. Let's come before our God with our congregational prayer. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, we come to you in humble gratitude because you have invited us into your presence, and there's no other way to approach you than in humility. That's the only appropriate way. We love you because you are God Almighty. And more truthfully, we love you because you touched our hearts in such a way that we can't help but respond to your great love for us, that we want to worship you and praise you and love you. On this third Sunday of Advent, we are eagerly waiting to celebrate your birth. We love your names. We just heard the songs about Jesus, that wonderful name, name above every name. And then there's Emmanuel, God with us. That's really a concept beyond our comprehension. That you, the creator of the universe, God of all gods, are God Emmanuel, God with us. And that even now you are here with us, and what makes it even better is that you are right in our hearts. You live in us. We are your children. We know you are holy and righteous. We also know that you are the one who forgives sins. And so we come to you and we seek that forgiveness, that you would cleanse us and make us whole and restore us and allow us to have the freedom that alone comes in Christ. Thank you, too, that when we come to you, we can come with requests for others, intercessory prayer. And we pray for the lost. We pray, Father, for those for whom none of the things that we celebrate here that about worship and praise and lifting up your name, where none of that is part of their lives. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit will touch their hearts in such a way that they too would not be able to resist your grace and would want to respond and be part of the family of God. To respond in such a way that Christmas isn't just couple of holidays, almost the end of the year, kind of trivial stuff. But where's the celebration of the birth of a king? We pray for those with physical, emotional, and relational needs, and we thank you, Father, for being with Jim Verstraat this week, that this wasn't more serious, even as we pray for more healing. We're grateful that Judy Winald and Arvilla DeVries are both recovering well from their surgeries. May that continue. We pray for Ron and Jenny Benedict and the things that they're dealing with and the struggles, and Father, for the health concerns, and so glad that even this morning they can be here with us. We pray for their client, Charlie, and the struggles he has. Father, will you deal graciously with him as well? We ask your blessing on Ron Ingalls, on Betty Holmes, Kathy Misiak, Brenda Van Beek, Robert DeYoung, Tom Noble, Lorraine Strading, Elaine Iskas, Bob Dickerson, Donna Miller, Brian Herwire, and John Staple. We're grateful, Father, for prayers that have been answered, and for others, we come with requests for continued strength on the journey. We always lay our petitions before you, and then we want to surrender, not our will, but your will be done, trusting that you will walk with us however you choose to answer. We ask your blessing on Roger Simmons and Marv Nienhuis in the nursing homes, for David Shaver and Michelle Strading dealing with chronic issues. We pray for Mel Vander West and Don Winald on hospice care. We want to remember Joy Stulp's family in Joy's passing, and then also this week as we celebrate her life, her going home. We know that she's in your presence. There was no question that you were her Lord and Savior. We pray that that service too will honor you and also be a comfort to all those who are gathered. May your grace truly be sufficient for all who are grieving. And sometimes at this season of the year, the pain seems more poignant as we have all this family stuff and gathered around the tables and we're real aware of that empty chair. And maybe this is the first year that that chair will be empty. And we pray for your grace. We know our hope is in you because you're the resurrection and the life, but we miss those we love. So we pray for your strength, the kind that only you can give. We pray for our nation. Father, will you have mercy on our land? It feels so chaotic, so divided, so much unrest, so much uncertainty. We know that until you, the Prince of Peace, become prevalent in our land, this will never change. So we pray, will you have mercy on us? We pray for all of our leaders, from the White House to those in the state capitals to the local governments. Father, our prayer would be that hearts would be turned to you, that they would bend their knee before you and seek wisdom from you, that acknowledging you as the wonderful counselor who can give that guidance. We pray for our military people. We thank you for their willingness to serve. And again, this time of year can be hard to be stationed around the globe and not be with family. We pray for your presence and that the birth of Jesus might also be a comfort and a strength to them. Wonderful counselor, will you keep the church faithful in serving you and in living for you, be that at home or around the globe. Thank you for outreach. Thank you for different ways we can participate in that. And so, Father, as we just heard the stories of the folks who went to Malawi, we pray for the people there in the refugee camp. And we know that that's not isolated. That's so many places where people are basically displaced from their homeland, people who haven't known real peace and quiet any day in their lives. And we come to you and we ask that through your presence, things can change and that we are willing to be hands and feet in any way that you call us to do that. And so we're thankful, Father, for being with Danielle, Peg, April, and Jake as they had this last trip and in their willingness to serve in this capacity. And we think of Hannah Coomer, who we've been praying for, serving you really in a similar capacity, but in Italy. Will you bless her as well? Thank you for letting us be supportive of different ministries. We think of the Project Bible Runners, the Voice of the Martyrs, the Gideons, Salvation Army, UCOM, Wyoming Family Network, Alpha, Right to Life. And Father, there's a host of others. There's all kinds of people that are really in the trenches. We pray for special grace for them. And then we pray for those who profess your name, who maybe are in the sports world, the entertainment world, the political world, the news world, and then for each one of us where you have placed us on a daily basis. Give us the courage to be salt and light where you have put us for such a time as this. Thank you for your presence at the consistory meeting last Monday night. And as the nominating process begins, will you lead and guide this whole process that you would bring just the right people into the leadership for the next term. In this Christmas season, may our hearts be set on celebrating your birth. May we not be led astray by all the trappings of the world. We pray, too, that you'll be with folks as they travel, be with families as they come together. And we pray for relationships. Relationships are a gift from you, and sometimes there's high tension this time of year. We get together with people that we avoid much of the time. We get together with people that maybe we don't like. May the love of Jesus in our hearts help us to be able to do this well, to reach out, to be kind, to be loving, that our testimony would be evident in our relationships too, and especially within our family circle. Help us remember why you came. You came so there'll be no more gloom for those who are in distress. As individuals and as a church, may we seek your will for our lives. Help us to make room in our hearts for you. And our prayer is that you will open our eyes as we study the scriptures, even now. We pray in the name of the Prince of Peace, even Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by singing number 286, Once in Royal David City, and we'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. As we prepare for this morning's message, we're going to look at another Old Testament passage again. Last week we did that too. We started in Genesis with the promise or the reading of the will, if you would, with Jacob and his sons. The Lion of Judah is where we ended up. And when you think about it, the whole Old Testament is really about the Lion of Judah. It's all about Jesus, as is the New Testament. And we never get away from that. He is central to everything we do. And so on this third Sunday of Advent, we want to remember that in a world that is really in some ways also quite chaotic. So dear congregation, we live in ever-changing times, tough times. Oh, maybe not here in West Michigan. We're thinking, hey, things aren't so bad here in West Michigan. But it depends really what we use as our standards. And we say, hey, we're doing all right. We got a nice home. We drive a decent car. Financial security, pretty good. say, yeah, things are good here in West Michigan. But if we use another standard when we deal with confusion, with complications, uncertainty, and constant change, then maybe it's fair to say that, yeah, even West Michigan is affected by this kind of stuff. How often haven't you heard older people say, what's the world coming to? And now I hear myself saying that. What's that tell you? Everything is changing fast. We can't keep up. And technology is setting a new pace, and then it seems like AI is taking over the world, and then how do we relate to each other, and how do we communicate, and especially with a younger generation, and then we're bombarded by noise. There's noise everywhere. Can I get a little peace and quiet? We have an overload of information, stimulus all around us. We are inundated by it. I hope none of you have gotten like a goal that this winter I'm going to watch everything that's on YouTube. I just come across this. It would take tens of thousands of years, maybe up to a million, to watch everything on YouTube. And the reason you could never catch up, they upload 500 hours per minute. It's mind-boggling, uploading 500 hours per minute on YouTube. And then our nation seems so divided, and then globally you got the war between Russia and Ukraine. Will that ever end? Will the Middle East peace hold? What's the deal with Venezuela right now? And then the ISIS attack on our soldiers in Syria a day or so ago. We deal with our national debt and the extent of fraud and corruption. And yes, many people do live with financial stress. And then there's all the social changes. I mean, the question, what is a family, was an absurd question not that many years ago. But today it's a realistic one. And how do we function as a family? Remember the times, I know some of you do because some of you are the same age as me. You remember when people gathered around the table and had a meal together. And I'm not talking about something you picked up at Arby's. There was like meat and potatoes and vegetables. And since it's Christmas time, we'd have figgy pudding. Does anybody know what that really is? Anyways, the kitchen table now seems to be a place where there's papers. And that's where we sit and figure out our finances and do that kind of stuff. Does anyone gather around the table and have a meal together? And then we ask, what are acceptable lifestyles? What's okay? And we deal with separation, divorce, family tension, abuse, addictions, loneliness. And then there's our own health stuff. Some of it is like we're just having health problems. You know, could be surgeries, could be cancer, could be dementia. Other things are stuff that comes with stage of life. I'm reaching that age where everything seems to be falling apart and things just don't work like they once did. And then the change in our value system. And that really is disheartening. When our whole value system changes, we no longer have absolutes. No absolutes meaning what is truth? Can anybody define truth? Well, that's really hard today because truth has become a social construct. And what that means is that if a bunch of us get together and say, this is what we think is truth, now we promote that as that's truth. It can be as absurd as I said, you know what? This is really beautiful weather. I love it when it's 45 out and sunny. And you're like, that don't make sense. But that's the kind of world we live in. That's where we live. We don't know what we believe, and we don't know what not to believe. So everything is really kind of unsettled. And worse yet, we feel that it doesn't make any difference. We throw up our hands and say, does anyone know what to do? Does anyone know what to do? Is there a way out of this mess? Can this ever be fixed? These are restless times. There's much uncertainty. The world doesn't feel safe. X, formerly Twitter, sound bites, commercials, infomercials, mind-numbing garbage programs, fascinated by fabricated stuff that has no benefit, and filling our minds with negative stuff that just pollutes them with things we don't need. And all of that is distracting us from forming real relationships. You ever notice it's getting, and I don't mean to pick on younger people because it's not true for all of them, but it's getting harder and harder for people to know how to come together and to sit and visit. To sit and visit and have true, in-depth or meaningful conversations. Oh, we can do the superficial. It's really cold out. I hope we don't get more snow, that kind of stuff. Those aren't real conversations. Those are just openers. But it's really hard for people to gather around the table. Some of my fondest memories of growing up was the time around the table. And sometimes that was hours, but there were good conversations. I learned a lot. There was depth to them. There was content. It had meaning. It had substance. Home has actually become a place where we sleep and do laundry. Where we sleep and do laundry. And when you ask people, how you doing? Kind of depends which age you're talking to. Some are always tired. Other are always bored. And some just say, oh, busy. Way too busy. But that's kind of the standard answers. We will mill about making changes in our lives, running and looking for peace, contentment, fulfillment, always hoping that maybe this will make a difference. Maybe if I did that, maybe this, maybe that, something different. And it never delivers. Always have to go somewhere else. So, if you feel any of that stuff, you're at the right place this morning because this is exactly what Isaiah was dealing with in Isaiah chapter 9. So turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, page 984 in your pew Bible. Page 984, chapter 9, we'll read verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of God. The prophet Isaiah is talking, but of course this is all inspired through the Lord. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Okay, last week we talked about the 12 tribes of Judah, of Israel, the sons of Judah. And these were two of the tribes, they were kind of northern tribes. But in the future, he'll honor Galilee of the nations, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You've enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. When Isaiah wrote this, things were not good. It was almost 722, which this is BC, which doesn't mean that much to us, but in 722, the northern kingdom, that was the 10 northern tribes, was completely decimated. The Assyrians came in, literally destroyed them, moved half of them into their land, brought some of their people down to where the 10 northern tribes had lived, and the intermarriage brought about the people that we knew as the Samaritans, the ones that were despised by the Jews. So things were not good. It was a dark and gloomy time. And that northern kingdom was never restored. And the territory that I'm referring to later became known as Samaria and Galilee. And that's what it was known as in the days of Jesus. Okay? Samaria and Galilee. In this time when Isaiah wrote this, shared this with the people, God was really irrelevant. He certainly wasn't central in their lives. Oh, they sometimes paid him a little bit of homage. Elsewhere, Isaiah talks about that. He says, through God, he says, yeah, you pay tribute with your lips. Your heart's not in it. In other words, you pretend that it means something to you, but it doesn't. Look at how you live. Look at what you do the rest of the week. So I don't care about what you do on the Sabbath. It has no significance, and it has no meaning. So in the middle of all of this depressing situation that they're in, because they knew the Assyrians were coming after them, the Assyria was the world power at that time, and they knew that they were in huge trouble, there's this prophetic word, nevertheless, no more gloom for those in distress, for the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. It's like, whoa, how does this make any sense? Is this some type of Pollyanna? Look around you. Listen to the news. Read the newspaper. Go online. There is nothing here to be excited about. Distress, disaster, death, all around us, always close by. But according to the prophet, now a light, a rescue is on the way. Good news, going to have an enlarged nation, increased joy, celebration. Like when there's a plentiful harvest, everybody benefits from it. And there's great joy and celebration in the town. We were real aware of that. Platte, South Dakota was a farming community. And when the farmers did well, everybody did well. So this really makes sense when there's a plentiful harvest. Yes, we all celebrate. Or plunder after victory in the battle. Yeah, we just wiped out some of our enemies, and now we get to take all of their stuff. He says, that's the kind of excitement you're going to have. Matter of fact, if you don't get it, remember, this goes back to the days of Gideon. Midian's defeat, hey, the Lord shattered the yoke. He broke that great burden, the bar across your shoulders. He says, remember the rod of oppressors? There'll be no more war. Combat boots and bloody uniforms used as fuel. It's like, if you put yourself in the day, back in this time period, it's like, none of this makes sense. None of this makes sense. And that is how the people actually did respond to Isaiah and to Jeremiah and a lot of the prophets. These guys don't make sense. They say it's from the Lord. This is crazy. Look around you. You're going to trust them? Or what you see. Why this optimism? What has changed? At the day that this message went out, absolutely nothing had changed. But there was hope. There was new hope. It's the good news. It was good news then, it's good news today. Listen, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. Don't you look forward to that day when the government will be on his shoulders and we don't deal with all of the stuff we deal with now? Isn't that something to look forward to? He will do the heavy lifting. He will take responsibility. He'll be in charge. He'll rescue us. He'll renew us. He'll protect us. He'll restore us. He'll save us. He will? How? A child. See, this doesn't make sense. A child is going to do all this? Look at some of the kings we've had. And they're failures. They haven't been able to do a thing about it. A child? Who is this child? What's his name? You know, that's something we always ask, right? Somebody tells you, you got a new baby, said, what'd you call him? I always like that when people say, you got a new baby. You ever hear somebody say, well, we got an old baby, we don't know what to name him? Yeah. What's his name? That's a normal question. We ask that. Names have meaning, especially in the scriptures. Abraham, father of nations. Jacob, his name was changed to Israel, means wrestles with God. And then there was Joshua, the Lord saves. Koops means to buy, if you speak Dutch. His name will be Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. What more could you want? What more is there? What more could we look for? Wonderful Counselor. That's supernatural wisdom. You thought Solomon was wise. You haven't seen nothing yet. Mighty God. God is actually the only person we could use the word mighty with. There isn't anything else really in the created universe that is mighty. Only God is mighty. So mighty God, divine power, beyond all human imagination. And then Everlasting Father. First, the word everlasting, eternal, permanent. If you have had a good relationship with your earthly father, you know that when he passed away, that left a huge vacuum. And if he's still living and you have this good relationship, it's like, oh, I'm going to dread the day dad dies. But this is an everlasting father, permanent, never to abandon you, never to reject you, never, never to discard you, always to be there, everlasting. And then Father. Doesn't say everlasting judge. It says everlasting Father. A father who has compassion for his children. A father who is a provider and a protector. And then the Prince of Peace. How we crave peace in our lives. That's really what we desire. Peace. We love peace. And peace somehow seems to always elude us. And when we do have peace, it often feels very temporary. It's the term the Jewish people use shalom for. Peace that is all-encompassing. This peace is the Prince of Peace, is the one who brings wholeness, brings well-being. And then in Luke 2, the passage we all know, right? In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. Luke 2, when the birth is being announced, the angel says, on earth peace, goodwill to men on whom his favor rests. There we have it again, the peace. And then going back to Isaiah, furthermore, the increase of his government and the peace, there'll be no end. Permanent. It'll never go away. It says he'll reign on David's throne over David's kingdom. However, don't misread this. However, his kingdom is not from this world. He was real clear about that when he spoke to Pilate. He says, my kingdom is not of this world, but it is in this world. It's the already not yet kingdom of God that's been established. He'll establish it, rule over it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever. That's what the scriptures say. So, is this just an Old Testament story? Preacher got pretty excited this morning, didn't he? Or does this have meaning for you? Does this have significance? Do you read this and say, yes, this is what my hope is based on? Or back up a little bit. Do you read this and say, I can believe this? Are you like, I don't know. This was spoken 722 years plus before Christ was born. I haven't seen much of this. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I can believe this. And then this line, God himself, his zeal, in other words, the Spirit of God will accomplish this. That's like putting a seal on it. The Spirit of God will accomplish this. This doesn't depend on any human being. God will accomplish this. So what's going on in your life? If this stuff isn't personal, it has absolutely no relevance. It has no meaning. What's going on in your life? Do you feel distress? Do you deal with days where you say, this day is pretty dark? Feeling kind of gloomy. What about fear? You live with fear? There's stuff that keeps you awake at night. You ever notice when you wake up during the night, it's always 3 o'clock? And when you do wake up, what's on your mind? What are you wrestling with? What anxiety, discontentment, unrest, hopelessness, hurting, maybe feeling alone, feeling unloved, maybe feeling unforgiven? Maybe you're feeling like you're not willing to forgive. For this to be meaningful, you have to be real honest with yourself. What is going on in your heart and in your mind? What do you deal with? I'm going to give you some words of encouragement, maybe more than encouragement. Take it as biblical instruction. Forget the tree and the trimming. Forget all the trappings, the presents, the shopping. The food, the parties, how many people are coming for Christmas Day dinner? How am I going to get everything ready? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying this stuff is bad. I'm not saying it's bad. But I am saying don't let that dominate. I talk to a lot of people who talk about how busy they are because of everything they have to do. Well, one, you're choosing to do it. But what have you given precedent in your life? What are you filling all your time with? My encouragement is take time to worship. For unto you a child is born. Don't let the stuff of the season, all the busyness, don't let all the busyness distract you from what really matters. There's something in all of this that really matters, and everything else is just trimmings. Come to Bethlehem. Come to the manger. Let him be your wonderful counselor. Let him be your mighty God. Let him be your everlasting Father. Let him be your Prince of Peace. That's why he came. He came for you. That's why Isaiah could write, in a time which was so chaotic, there will be no more distress or gloom. There'll be no more distress or gloom. That was true then, and that's true today. That's the good news. But only in this child, only in the Son of God, only he can lift the distress and the gloom from your life. Make him, keep him central in your Christmas celebration. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Thank God for Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for coming and being Emmanuel, God with us. And yes, in the darkness and the gloom, you are our only hope. You are the light of the world. You are the light that can shine in our hearts. Father, I pray that you give us wisdom and how to celebrate your birth wisely, to do it well, to not get drawn in by the busyness, the trappings of this world and what it offers, but to keep you central in all that we do. so that we are really aware of the one who is that wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We pray in his name, amen. At this time, we will continue worshiping our God and we'll sing number 272, Standing to Sing While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night. This time, the morning offering will be received. The deacons will wait upon you. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for this privilege of giving. Not that you need anything we have, but you are a provider, God, and you just called us to be stewards. Give us joy in giving, and it also reminds us of what you have all given us. And there's nothing greater than Jesus, the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. We pray in his name. Amen. After the benediction, we will sing number 260, the first verse, Worthy, You Are Worthy. Receive God's parting blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his countenance towards you and grant you his peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on our website at 8thchurch.org. That is 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in his care.